Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, South Bay Spotlight, on November 3rd, 2016. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For additional information, visit their website at academyofforeignlanguages.com, that's all spelled out, or call 310-975-4133.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and producer of The South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
Way to go, Cubbies!
Yeah, oh my gosh. That is so amazing.
Wasn't that an exciting game last night?
Some commentators have said that that might be the greatest Game 7 in memory. Certainly in the last 40, 50 years, it's one of the great ones. It's not just the rivalry and the fact that one team or another was going to break a, 60-year-plus curse.
Right, right.
But the fact that it was such a hard-fought game.
It was a nail-biter. I went and worked out last night, and I'm driving home my car, and I had the radio on, and it was 6-4.
Yeah.
Right? Cubs were up 6-4. Yeah. And one of the radio announcers, it was one of the AM channels, at KFI, I think, and they were saying, oh, my goodness, what are they doing? They were already selling the World Series winner for the Cubs, the hats and the T-shirts.
Yeah, yeah.
They were already selling them. And he's saying, what are you doing? The game's not over yet. You're going to jinx it.
Yeah.
And this announcer was screaming about it. And sure enough, the guy hits a home run and they tie it up.
You run shot. This is a guy who hadn't hit a home run since, August.
I know.
Or something. I mean, he's not a home run hitter. Right?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It was nuts. It was great. And what was even better was that it seems like they got to use the entire dugout.
Right.
All the players, not the dugout, the whole team.
Right.
It's everybody stepped up in some way.
Yeah.
So it was amazing. It was amazing. Even the pitcher, the relief pitcher they brought in, the first one, he got those two outs.
Yeah.
He got those two outs. And then they brought in the other guy, and what'd he do? Throw two pitches, and boom, game one. It was exciting.
yeah, thrilled.
We're all very excited. I mean, I'm not particularly a Cubs fan, but, I got to root for anybody that's looking to break a 108-year streak. So that was exciting. Congratulations, Cubs.
Congratulations, Cubbies. What a wonderful thing to happen. Great season. Pole to pole, they were considered the best team when the season started, and they fulfilled their promise.
Yes, it was exciting. Okay, yeah. on to basketball, hockey, and football.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, I'm excited about today's show, Jackie. I have to tell you.
So am I.
There's something special about, we talked about, all the entrepreneurs here in the South Bay, trying to find a way basically to stay in the bubble.
Right.
Right. Nobody wants to leave, and if you have to work on the West Side or downtown, or I worked in Pasadena for a few years, it's just a grind to commute. But as we do that, of course, this is a huge surfing community, and we have our own issues with sharks here in the South Bay. I mean, we just had a shark attack not just a few months ago.
Technically, it wasn't a shark attack.
Yeah.
It technically wasn't a shark attack. Some fishermen were throwing chum. And
I'm sorry, yeah.
Yeah, they had hooked. It was a great white, wasn't it?
Right.
Yeah, they had hooked a great white, and it got off the hook, and he was obviously agitated. The shark was pissed, all right?
Yeah.
And there were surfers right below. Right near the pier. You know, Manhattan Beach Pier is a big surf spot. And the shark was agitated, and you know, there was a surfer right there, and he bit into him. But technically, they're not calling it a shark attack. It was,
right.
And the fishermen were to blame, I believe.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
But every year, there are issues, there are questions, because, you know, this is their natural habitat, and they do come down our coast. But we're going to talk with an entrepreneur that had a different vision, and I'm so excited. Jackie, who's our guest today?
This is very exciting. Our guest this morning is Neil Campbell, founder and director of the Common Sense Surf Company. Now, Neil has a BA in film and media from Griffith University, diplomas in acting and cinematography, a grad diploma in TESOL. I'm not sure what that is, Joe, but we'll find out. And he is 3 units short of a master's in media practice at the University of Sydney. He lived and worked as a teacher in Korea throughout 1994, then as a cameraman in a wide variety of mostly live sports and entertainment in the UK for 15 years before returning to Australia in 2010. Joe, side note, Neil plays the bagpipes often without invitation or permission, all right? Now, Neil moved to South Australia from Sydney in June 2015 and has devoted the subsequent 16 months to the development of Chillax. Now, he has a passion to put what he regards as the unnecessary nonsense of surfers' universal vulnerability to attacks by sharks from behind them. Now, this idea that had been in his head since he was a nipper stopped smelling like shark food dummy. So after years of chasing a cinematography dream, he decided this was it. Hence, Chillax. Now, to learn more about Chillax, visit the website at you can visit the website at joeycrowd.com/Chillax or the Facebook page at facebook.com/commonsensesurf. Welcome to the program, Neil. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Well, thank you, Jackie and Joe. It's a delight to be here.
And he's joining us from Australia, everybody. This is an international
It's a delight to be here. It is a delight to be here. It's 1:38 in the morning here, but I am really pleased to be getting a taste of California. What's the weather like today?
I don't know. Wait, I got to say, I don't know how he's doing this, considering he's in Friday and we're in Thursday.
He's got to catch up. You have been dragging the chain.
Right. Right.
We're having a beautiful day here. Actually, it's heating up today. We're going to get some Santa Anas. It's going to be in the mid to high 70s at the beaches and even hotter inland. So we're having a gorgeous day.
Yes.
And what about the surf? What's the surf like today?
I haven't had a chance to look at the surf report yet. So maybe somebody will call in and tell us.
Yeah.
They do. I'll be interested.
Well, speaking of that, any of you surfers out there, if you have questions or comments about Chillax, again, that's joeycrowd.com/Chillax, C-H-I-L-L-A-X. If you have any questions, please give us a call at 714-242-5288. Again, that's area code 714-242-5288. Let's get some surfers on the line. Neil, there's something special about this idea and about this concept, and it's not just me. Of course, if you go to joeycrowd.com, you don't even have to go to /Chillax because you're on the front page. Obviously, they feel that it's important. Tell us, first of all, you know, what you did before, and how does that relate to what you're doing now?
It couldn't be much more different. I was a sports cameraman, broadcast cameraman. I worked for 6 years in Formula One, and I did all of the ringside boxing in the UK for a number of years. I started as a cameraman in soap operas in Australia, but moved into mostly sport, wasted most of my adult life doing something that I've been busting for a long time to make a difference in people's lives. And hence the TESOL, that's teaching English to speakers of other languages. I lived in Korea for a year and Japan for another one. And then the rest of the time was in the UK away. When I came home, fell back into television. Again, not happy about it. We made a move. My girlfriend and I decided to make a move out of Sydney and the rat race that you're talking about, that you experience. We experienced something similar in Sydney. It's a car culture. There is a 4 or 5 million people in Sydney. It's a big place. So we moved to Adelaide. Well, actually, there's a song in Australia called If You Leave Me, Can I Come Too? And that's pretty much what was happening. She let me come too. And we were moving to Adelaide. Now, I had talked myself into a move across the country from the East Coast, where Sydney is, I suppose it's the centre of Australia, Adelaide. It's at the bottom of Australia as you look at it. So we're facing something called the Great Australian Bite. Mm. Ever since I was a child, I thought that the Great Australian Bite was named after sharks. And this area is notorious for the white pointer. This is white pointer country. So I found myself, thinking about something that had been on my mind for many years. And what confirmed that something had to be done was my own encounter with a bull shark a week before we left Sydney. I was out off Long Reef. Some of your surfers may know of some of the Sydney northern beaches by name, and I was breaking all the rules. I was out late near sunset. I was out alone. I was on a Bombora, so I was a long way out, and sure enough was confronted by a very large bull shark in front of me, and I paddled towards the shore, and he was in front of me again. And my reaction was that I was furious with myself that I hadn't acted deer in my head that I'd had since I was 7 years old, that the best strategy is probably not to smell like shark food. And that's where Chillax came from, to offer a pungent brew, a moat, if you will, of scent and spice that are meant to be an affront or an offense to the shark's legendary sensitive olfactory senses and also his taste.
Right.
So that's how it came about. I made this organic wax, and I stuck a bunch of essential oils and spices in there. Now, they're not just in there willy-nilly. There are combinations in there that are used to repel grizzly bears, for instance. Mm-hmm. Bear spray is citronella and pepper, capsicum spray. So that's what capsicum spray is. But I didn't use capsicum. I used peppers, and I used a bunch of different ingredients that are, proven to repel, bears, control dog behavior, repel brown snakes, leeches, and all sorts of insects. So to me, there was a certain logic that if the shark is, as the Shark Foundation claim, 10,000 times more sensitive than us, that perhaps something in the way of an unsubtle signal to him might be a good strategy. Now, this is catching on result. What's happening is it's catching on.
It's a great idea. I mean, it's instantly you think about this idea. And I have to say, for all of you out there, if you type in shark repellent surfboard wax, Uncle Google says that you are the king. Neil Campbell and Common Sense Surf Company, you're the king of this idea. How is that possible that someone else has not come up with this idea before?
Look, it's fascinating, isn't it? Australia owes America a great deal. And one of the stories that I grew up with was of the hundreds, thousands of sailors and airmen that were lost to sharks in the Second World War in the Coral Sea, while the US was busy defending Australia from invasion by the Japanese. The sailors and airmen were being taken by a combination of Makos and white points, black point, black tips, reef sharks, and they had a strategy. They had something called necromone. Necromone is the scent of rotting sharks. Sharks read that as history of bigger predator in the area. And they had it in a liquid form. So these guys would release this fluid into the water and the sharks would, you know, disappear for a while. The stuff would float away and sharks would come back. Off the US's Indianapolis alone, I think they lost some obscene number, like 300 or 400 men to sharks. The Mako is a vicious shark. He'll attack for no reason, whether he's hungry or not. Mm-hmm. You know, this stuck with me, this story, when I was a kid. But at the same time, I was trying my own strategy. I used to put tea tree and tiger balm. Tiger balm's a pungent Chinese muscle rub. I don't know if you get it in the States. It's mm-hmm. famous here. Mm-hmm. And then I used to put that on myself or on the board, and or the board, in this sort of private understanding that maybe I wouldn't smell like shark food. Well, you know, that idea stuck with me for many years. And when it came to time to move to White Point of Country myself, if I was going to continue to surf, I had to do something. Yeah. I had to do something. And Australia is the king of death by shark. We are world champions of death by shark. Between 1958 and 2014, there were 665 attacks in this country, and 232 of those are deaths. Now, the Americans, you have had more attacks, but far fewer deaths.
Yeah.
Australia is very much under siege here. And regardless of what they say on breakfast television, you know, as a surfer, that's a significant statistic. We've lost a prime minister, by the way, to shark attack. We lost Harold Holt in 1960 or 61, somewhere around there. Our prime minister was eaten by a shark. No trace was ever found of him.
Yeah.
And I've had enough of that. I've had enough of 14-year-olds bleeding out in their friends' arms and Japanese surfers and university lecturers being bitten in half in front of their children. We have a problem that really needs to be dealt with, and I don't think it's been dealt with to the satisfaction of surfers everywhere.
Right.
So, yes, I made an organic surf wax, and it smells strong. It smells really pleasant to humans, I've got to say, but it doesn't to the shark. I could talk about my inspiration for ages. Let's get a question in, Joe.
Okay. Well, you know, it's fascinating though, because what you're describing is an issue that, you know, here in the States we haven't had as big an issue as you have down under, but it's an issue that you've come up with a solution that's really unique and pleasant and forward-looking. If this works, and one of the reasons that you're on Joey Crowd, a lot of people are very, very familiar with crowdfunding here in the States, with Kickstarter and GoFundMe and many others.
Yep.
Not many people are familiar with JoeyCrowd.com.
No, you won't know Joey Crowd.
Say again?
Joey Crowd's a new company.
Yes.
And they're similarly graduates of an institution I've just graduated from. We were Venture Dormers. The Venture Dorm is a program for innovators and entrepreneurs in Adelaide at the Flinders University, and it's part of the New Venture Institute. And Joey Crowd were graduates only the year before me. So it's a new company. But these guys have gone far and beyond the call of duty of a crowdfunding campaign. They have helped me with every aspect of, you know, launching the crowdfunding campaign. I should explain, Joe, that and Jackie, that you know, this crowdfunding campaign is to raise enough money to pay for the testing. Because when you say I've come up with the solution, Well, I've come up with, you know, a proposed solution, Joe. What everybody's going to want to know in, amongst your listeners and the surfing community in general is, the first question is, have you got proof?
Does it work?
The only, does it definitely work? Can you guarantee my safety? That's what they want to know. And that's what we're endeavoring to prove. Now, to prove that requires, you know, 2 and 3 days at sea with the leading professor in the area, a guy called Professor Charlie Hoveniers. He's the lead researcher with the Southern Shark Ecology Group. He's also the senior lecturer in biological sciences at Flinders. Now, this guy is the bloke that tested Shark Shield and gave the green light to Shark Shield as having a discernible effect on sharks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm loath to criticize Shark Shield, but I will say that I think that my strategy, when proven, is going to be more affordable, more accessible, and may well inadvertently protect surfers around you. Now, that's what we're aiming at, Joe. That's what we want, is to make a simple wax that's accessible and affordable for young surfers in Brazil, in South Africa, everywhere. That's the great thing about this.
So you're saying if there are 20 surfers in the water at any particular location, and 3, 4, 5 of them, let's say half of them are Chillax users, it'll protect everyone.
Yeah, okay, that's the theory, and it is a theory, okay, but it's a very strong theory.
Yeah.
When you consider that the shark is 10,000 times more sensitive than us, that's a phenomenal number. If to me, that means you can smell moon dust from here. You know, that's if you examine what that means, the shark can smell your testosterone, your pheromones, your hormones, and he can smell them from a mile away.
Yeah.
By the time he's within sight of you, he already knows a great deal of you.
Yeah.
You know, there was an attack in Bondi in the 1930s. It was the middle of summer. Bondi, by the way, is a famous Sydney beach.
Yes.
And it was the middle of summer. It's Australia's biggest city. The waters were crowded, and particularly at Bondi, it's the most popular beach. An attack happened. A shark made its way through the crowd, barging people out of the way. Until he got to the one he wanted. Now, that was what was universally reported by the crowd. It was if the shark already knew his victim. And if you know, talked to shark experts, they'll probably confirm this, that is likely the case, that shark picked out a victim from some distance away, and not because of the way he looked, but almost certainly because of the way he smelled. And if you look at the footage of the dreadful footage of Mick Fanning being attacked in front of the world's cameras last year.
Mm.
That shark swam straight past a whole lot of photographers that were in the water, not on boards, just dangling themselves in the water.
Mm.
But that shark wasn't interested in them. It was interested in Mick, because Mick smelled good, and Mick smelled probably good enough to eat.
Right.
Mick's probably the most competitive man in the water, and would be reeking of testosterone.
Yeah.
And doubtless enjoying himself, pheromones. You know, this is the complexity that needed examining, that I don't think was being looked at. And so I decided to look at it.
You're gonna fund scientific research to look into these questions.
Testing
yes.
for proof.
Yes.
Joe, what everybody wants is visual proof. But they'll get scientific proof. They'll get it extended. You know, in a comprehensive examination of the reaction of sharks to chillax. Jackie, you're going to say something. Sorry.
Yeah, well, that was one of the questions on my list here is, I imagine people aren't signing up to take this product for a test run. But you've just explained it's going to be a scientific expedition.
That's right. They'll have a number of control experiments floating in the water with bait on them. One of them will have chillax around it, and one won't. And you can understand the sort of experiment that we'll be talking about. We'll be shooting it from underwater. We'll be shooting it from above. You know, it will be you know, monitored in all sorts of ways,
right.
And examined in all sorts of ways. We're talking 5 days at sea,
right?
So I imagine that Charlie's got an array of ways of testing it, and that is one of the ones he's told. One of the ones he's told me about.
Now,
this is fascinating.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I mean the whole pheromone thing, hormones, pheromones, testosterone. It brings up all sorts of other things. You know, for instance, pregnant women, you know, are putting off all sorts of different.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
I could tell you, I want to talk about women just briefly because in this country, 95% of attack victims are male. I think that's, I've actually read some fascinating things. If you'll allow me, about blood, okay? And when we're talking the blood from women, apparently does not have the same effect. The shark does not automatically go into a feeding frenzy with this blood. Now, I've read this. I don't know if it's conclusive, but isn't that interesting? Because I think nature generally protects its females. And females, you know, instinctively as humans, we're loath to catch or accidentally kill females, you know, whatever species we're talking about.
Right.
A kangaroo that you hit with a car here,
mm-hmm.
it's 10 times the greater tragedy if it's a female. And I think it's something that's built into nature to think of us males as more dispensable. And that applies to apex predators.
That makes sense to me. That makes absolute sense to me.
It does, doesn't it?
The testosterone is you know, the fighter, you know,
right.
the aggressive, you know, it's the aggressiveness. And that makes absolute sense to me.
It is extraordinary that it seems to be, you know, I'm not, before we go any further, I have to point out that I'm not a PhD in science,
nor
am I a BSc. You read out a bunch of my degrees. So you can see that I've got a mind that's able to analyze stuff, but I'm not a scientist. Okay. This thing that I've done was simply a strategy I came up with to look after myself. And I just feel that it's good enough to share around. So I did a couple of difficult business courses because I had to learn about business. I was always a cameraman. I just showed up and shot a bouncing ball. I didn't care. You know, I didn't care about business. So I had to start again to learn how to do this.
Neil,
yeah, Joe.
You may not be a PhD, but I didn't know that you were, you know, a master marketer. But from well, if you type in shark repellent surfboard wax, you are 7 of the top 8 results in Google.
That's just
fantastic.
Google. I mean, that's because nobody else has thought of combining the two, okay? There's the surf wax industry and there's the shark repellent industry. The twain have not met.
There is a patent in the U.S., from
I know about this. We're going to talk about
2007. This
guy.
Patrick Simosko, you know about this.
I don't know what happened to Patrick's product. The fact that he patented it makes it impossible for me to patent it. So whether the product worked or not, you know, it's pretty clear that it probably didn't. But he patented the idea, the intention of producing a product to do this. So yes, I did have a predecessor, but because we don't know about it, I imagine that Patrick's success was ambiguous. So because if he was successful, we'd all know about it.
Right.
I don't know what Patrick's secret formula was. I'm not making any secret of mine.
Right.
The ingredients on the label. So I honestly don't know more than you do. I looked into his patent and it was there was not a lot to be revealed from my research into.
Well, you have the same protections that Colonel Sanders has and Pepsi or Coke.
And yeah, but I'm not going to get all secret, you know, ingredients on everybody.
Well, you don't have to keep it a secret. I mean, the ingredients to Pepsi and Coke are well known, and of course Colonel Sanders, it's still a secret recipe. Yours is not a secret, but the proportions of each element,
the concentrations, and the preparation of it.
Yeah, you can.
Yes, that is something I intend to protect. Okay, it's interesting talking.
But I mean, the important thing is, even though there is a patent, that's immaterial to the fact that you're the top 8 of 7 results on Google. When someone is interested in shark repellent and they think, oh, is there any surfboard wax that is a shark repellent, they're going to find out about you.
Yeah, good.
Chill
out. The one thing I do want to say up front is that I want to emphasize that my motivation has been altruistic. I'm just interested in looking after surfers. And I just don't think, dangling yourself at this apex predator as if you were a tea bag of meat out there has ever been a good strategy. And I think, you know, that what I've done is suggest the shark can be sold a dummy. All right.
Right.
I went to the museum director of the South Australian Museum's office. He has a bisected head of a 3-meter great white in there. I wanted to see it in the flesh, see what it was like. So, of course, I was interested in the olfactory cavity, which is right in the nose. And it's a fantastic cavity that you can see quite clearly, even in the corpse of a shark. And it is wedged up against the brain, at least the brain cavity. I had never seen his brain before. I have a model, a plastic model of a 3-dimensional shark that I bought from, you know, the States. And it suggested that the brain was a great big pink thing next to this olfactory cavity. But that pink thing turns out just to be a sack. Inside the sack is a brain the size of a bloody mushroom. Okay, this is not a giant brain on this creature.
Right.
And that was like an epiphany. This is a predator who relies on his senses to give him the information, you know, which he simply translates into hunting. He is a yes or no predator.
Food, not food.
He does,
food, not food.
That's right. That's right, dude. And that's what we're trying to do, is tick ourselves off the list. Now, you know, mine is just the first of a strategy apart from the necromone we talked about earlier.
Yes.
And I was always interested and still am interested in moving in a necromone direction. The problem with necromone is that it smells like rotting shark. It is one of the worst smells on earth.
Yeah.
So we need to get, I'm negotiating with a few labs here. We need to nail down a laboratory to work on nothing but making a necromone that has no offense to human noses. So we need to neutralize the scent, because necromone, you know, I don't want to bore everyone, but it's a 3-part copper compound. If you combine copper sulfate, nitrate, and acetate, that is essentially the smell of rotting shark. So we need to neutralize that smell. Now, if we can do that, if we can produce a necromone that still sends the same signal to sharks, well, you can imagine, never mind surf wax, you put that in a sunscreen, And we're going to cover everybody in the water.
Right.
And that is my intention, is simply to prod the academic and the, you know, the various industries that are involved, the surf industry, the shark repellent industry, in a direction that's going to look after people. And I have a suggestion for wider strategy. You know, your beaches, I think in Florida, are under a fair bit of shark presence right now.
Yeah.
Well, we've got a similar situation happening in the north of New South Wales. That's the state that Sydney's in. You know? So about 800 kilometres, shall we say 500 miles, north of Sydney is an area called the Northern Rivers. And there are beautiful beaches there. Australia's most easterly point, Byron Bay, is there. And a town that has become synonymous with shark attacks, Ballina. About small businesses in these cities are suffering. Because, you know, they rely on tourism and, you know, the coastal life. And there is an extraordinary presence of sharks that has actually driven 20% of surfers away from surfing altogether. And the rest of them have changed their surfing habits so that now when they want a wave, they go looking for a beach that's crowded and has a break next to the sand, which is laughable to anybody who's listening who knows they're surfing, because that's the opposite of what we're looking for. We're all looking for the perfect wave by ourselves, okay? And we don't care how far we have to go to get it and how far out we have to get it. It has changed people's behavior. It has a direct impact on their behavior. So I've got a suggestion for them, and I've just been talking to the various ministers and stuff and making the suggestion to various mayors in the area. They've got to use this necromone theory. Yeah. And they do that not by drum lines, not by nets, not by a cull, none of that rubbish, because you're never going to get the shark that does the next attack, right? So what you do is we do eat sharks here, okay? They are food. So you take one of those that you were going to use for food, and you anchor his decomposing corpse to the sea floor off a beach like Lighthouse at Ballina, where they've had far too many attacks lately.
Right.
And that one decomposing shark will repel other sharks for 3 to 4 months.
Wow.
Now that's not just me, claiming that. That is a strategy that you could employ in the States. That is a strategy that, needs examination. You ask the experts. You ask the guys in the marine sciences, of your institutions, if there's any truth to this idea that necromone repels sharks. No, we'll go, yeah, of course it does. Why? What I don't understand is why this strategy hasn't been thought of on a wider scale. And I hope we all do it. I hope we all end up doing it. And,
definitely.
Obviously there's nothing for me in this. I just want this to be considered as a strategy by councils and authorities.
That's a very interesting strategy. I mean, there are certain I imagine there are certain people who will say, oh, that's terrible. You're going to kill a shark just to protect people so they can, have fun at the beach.
Yeah.
But it's
if we accept that we're eating them for food.
Right.
Okay.
And you don't need the whole
shark.
You're
just putting one of those to one side.
You take a thresher shark. We eat thresher shark here. So you take a thresher shark and you put a couple of them out there beyond the break or whatever. And it'll protect, especially any kind of cove area beaches, they could easily protect that.
I just saw thresher sharks in a documentary last night. They're quite nice sharks, actually.
It's good eating too.
This is how I feel about it. I really do. I am reluctant to endorse this, but I will say, that in time, an artificial necromone that I've spoken about, this copper compound, now that could be produced. And what needs to be developed is a buoy to secrete this stuff.
Right.
And then you just take live sharks out of the equation. Now, there it is. That's what needs to be done. In the short term, yes, you're going to kill the occasional shark. And in the long term, you're going to replace that unfortunate targeted shark with an artificial compound that will have the same effect. Now, that's what we need to do.
Buoys that are designed to repel sharks and make the water just unpleasant for them, so they go elsewhere.
That's right.
Yeah, it's just not surfers. I mean, a chillax, you could use, paddle boarders can use it, boaters can use it, scuba divers could use it. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be
that's
a wax compound. You could figure out, spray or body cream or something, some sort of thing.
I'm thinking a lot about spear fishermen and scuba divers. That is, that's a frustrating scenario for me. I'm really fascinated with what we could do to help them to target their scenario, because of course they go snooping around into his living room. They come across him. They go looking for him and find him in their face. We just drift around on the surface,
right.
Hoping he won't. Divers are a lot more, shall we say, invasive of their territory. They really do go looking for trouble. And we have, you know, an extraordinary amount of guys that have been taken and attacked here that are spear fishermen. And yes, it is a strategy that I need to, you know, target more specifically than a wax. You know, perhaps a wax will be the most appropriate thing. There's all sorts of visual deterrents that are happening at the moment. But I've just noticed that the last two shark attack victims who were spear fishermen, I've seen their profile photos and they were wearing these visual deterrent wetsuits. And the other strategy didn't work for them either. So I really think we need to, you know, work harder in this scent direction, the scent and taste direction that I'm working in, because it does present the most exciting possibilities in terms of taking us off the shark's menu without harming the shark. We won't care what his numbers are in the water. You know, we won't care whether he's in our vicinity if we're off his menu. That's what I'm working towards. That's what I'm passionate about.
What is a visually deterrent wetsuit? What does that encompass? What is that like?
A good question, Jackie. Look, there's two types. The divers wear a kind of camouflage because they're below. They wear a combination of blues and greens that make them disappear and amongst the waters and the seaweeds and so forth. They're really quite beautiful garments. The surfers, on the other hand, have been sold, it's being developed and there are sales, a completely different type of wetsuit with high contrast black and white stripes. So you end up looking like a beagle boy out there. They're not all that cool, these wetsuits. Sharks can't cope with the high contrast. This is the belief. The difference is that, of course, surfers, we're above him, we're in silhouette. We don't look that much different from a seal or from a turtle, or, you know, even a dolphin from below. But with our limbs dangling with these high contrast stripes, that's been, you know, the research on it is really quite encouraging that sharks are put off at the last minute. But I would say, I would remind everybody that the only reason the shark is that close to either a surfer or a diver, there has to be other reasons. Because as we all know, the waters aren't crystal clear. It's not Bali everywhere. Sharks don't come across you. They don't go looking for you. They go smelling for you. The only reason he's in your area is that he sniffed you out. You know, imagine a dog multiplied by 1,000. Dogs have fantastic senses of smell. This creature can knock a dog dead in a smell competition, okay?
Right.
So I would still emphasize that the main thing is examining why he's in our vicinity. What is going on? And it's no surprise. Nature is doing the same thing underwater as she does on the plains of Africa. You know, we are prey out there. We might be top of the food chain, but out there we're just food. And you know, there's this culture in Australia, and I imagine this, you know, it exists in California too, of this sort of macho indifference. It's almost as daredevil, I don't care, amongst surfers when it comes to shark attacks. And many of them embrace the school of thought that, oh, it's their living room, so if I get taken, too bad. Well, I don't accept that. I just don't accept that. I cannot accept that as a feeble way for an animal that, you know, with a brain as big as ours to feeble is maybe a strong word, all right? It's just not a very constructive way to think about it, okay? I think we can do better. I think we're smarter than him and we can outsmart him.
Well, now, Neil, I am so impressed with the both the motivation and the solution, and you're carrying it forward. You're going to get, apparently, from Joey Crowd, you're going to get to your goal. You're already 10% of the way there, and you've got, what, 25 days to go? Hopefully,
I need help. You guys in the States, I just want you all to know that if you contribute to this campaign to pay for this testing, I don't get a penny of it, not one penny. doesn't go to my company or to me. It goes to pay for the testing. All right. So what we're all hoping for is that I'm right, that I'm headed in the right direction,
right,
that the chillax is halfway there. And if we go on, we're going to develop a necrophorone with no smell, and that'll be the end of the story, Joe. And Jackie, that's what I'm working towards, to put shark attacks behind us so that our kids will laugh at the thought that we used to go out just dangling ourselves at these apex predators without a thought.
You know,
smarter.
It's interesting because if you go back to 1973 in Jaws, they talked about, splashing attracts sharks, And also what you were saying about, wetsuits visually, if you're in the water in a wetsuit, you resemble a seal to a shark.
A black wetsuit. Yeah.
A black wetsuit. So you resemble a seal.
Right.
So maybe it's possible it's not any of those things that attack sharks. But,
well,
and what you're saying about the pheromones.
It's all of them.
I reckon,
Jackie, I reckon it's all of them, okay? But I do think it's all of them. But I think that the hearing and the sight, I think that they're secondary to smell.
Yeah.
And also he has, these quite interesting spots on his nose called the ampullae of Lorenzini, the white pointer and the hammerhead and the others. They have these spots that are used for detecting electrical fields. They also use them for navigation and balance and all sorts. They're actually there to detect the heartbeat of a nervous fish under a rock. That's what Shark Shield targets, this particular feature of them. All of these senses, all right, in combination, make the creature such a formidable predator.
Right.
We have something that trumps him, if you'll forgive that word. We do have something that trumps this shark.
That's
and that
not
is
a word
our
we like hearing around here.
Oh, mate, we're hearing it. We're in here too much here. We're a long way from it. We're hearing up here. Oh, my God. Well, maybe that's the repellent I need to work on.
Well,
no.
So now, Neil, we've covered a lot of ground, but I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about some of the other aspects of this. For one, as we've described over and over again, you really are dominating in terms of the share of space on Google and probably other social networks regarding shark repellent surfboard wax. But tell me, do you have distributors in the U.S. for common sense surfing?
It will happen, Joe. It will happen. Distributors, retailers.
They have to test it first. They have to test it and make sure it works and everything before you can start off with the distributors.
Jackie's right, all right? You can't distribute something without it being a proven and tested product, all right?
Joe, you want to be a test subject? You want to rub some of this on your board and go out there?
I'll find somebody to rub it on.
we've already had our first sales to the States, okay? There's been sales to California, to would you believe South Boston and to Florida. We have had sales across the States in small numbers. Distributing will be a concern, but down the line, Joe, when we get the proof, then you'll hear about us, mate. You will hear about us. And because I want to get it to surface as quickly as possible. And that is my genuine motivation. I'm convinced already being, protected by it. We have to prove that. And once we've done that, we'll distribute it and we will keep working to include everybody that gets in the sea in one form or another.
Right.
I'm going to work on Crocs next. I'm not going to stop. My son in England is designing me a shark deterring a visual wetsuit that's going to be an improvement on the Beagle Boys currently being offered. We are going to look at all common sense related matters, including the sun. This company is going to, it's going to do great things. And I am not going to stop. I can't believe I wasted so much time as a cameraman because I've got so much to do. And we are getting support and I want people involved, and all they have to do is go and have a look at the Common Sense Surf page. As well as the Joey Crowd thing, you'll you'll find everything you need to know about Common Sense Surf on the Facebook page. And wish us luck, because yeah. I really have everyone's welfare at heart, and that's the truth.
Well, I imagine that anyone listening to this who is a marine biologist, who loves the ocean, who loves all the creatures in the ocean, would say that this is one of the best developments they've ever heard of, because it takes the issue of shark-human encounters and tries to separate them in a way that is best for the shark and best for the humans. This is the best of all worlds, because you want the sharks to live their lives and do their thing as apex predators, but simply to avoid people. And that's the number one thing. And it's you're using their own biology. You're using the shark's biology and their
that's right.
their natural aversions to accomplish this. It's a beautiful concept. It is really a beautiful concept.
And it's using our natural talent for intelligence.
Correct.
And actually trying to bisect the situation and trying to, think laterally, think of a way to save this, to solve this situation,
right,
without bringing shotguns into it. Without without arming yourself out there, and that's
right.
already been done. Surfers in Sydney started carrying screwdrivers in their wetsuits. Everybody was getting quite paranoid here.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't be paranoid. I wanted to do something smart, and I think this is it. I'm sure this is the right thing. I'm sure
it's
we're going to have
it's
implicated.
It's common sense.
It's common sense.
Hence the name of the company, Jack.
I love the name of the company, but I have to ask you something, Neil. You contacted me. How did you find my contact information?
Joey Crowd, these guys, they helped me find everybody that had a blog that was in a surfing area that had radio shows like you. We sent out 900 emails a couple of weeks ago, isn't it? Or was it a week ago? And you were one of them. And I'm so pleased that you got back to me. I'm so pleased that, you are our foothold in California. You're the first media door that we've managed to open in California. There'll be others, but you're pioneers like me.
Oh,
so,
look at that. Wow. Well, get this. We don't know Joey Crowd, but Joey Crowd knows us.
Yes.
You're right. Those guys went above and beyond the call of duty. For me, they have worked so hard. They have been absolutely brilliant. I can't sing their praises enough, because I'm not a wealthy man. I have thrown all my savings at this in the last year. I've got almost nothing left. But I think we're about to kick down a door, really. I think we're almost there. I look forward to having a car that was actually made in this millennia. But I'm not actually motivated by money. I don't care about money. I really am much more interested in the legacy. If you forgive me the vanity of wanting to leave something useful behind. So, that's what I'm looking at doing. Okay.
Well, I love the concept of simple, organic surf wax.
Yeah,
and
organic is interesting. We haven't talked about that. Commercial surf wax, by and large, uses paraffin, which is, of course, a petrochemical byproduct, and it also uses adhesive agents, perfumes, all sorts of unnatural rubbish, right, that really has no place in a culture like surfing that prides itself on its environmental friendliness. And I've made a surf wax with beeswax and coconut oil, and they're the base, all right? And for the cold water mix, I added pine tree resin. So there's nothing in this from the petrochemical industry. And this, the important thing about this wax for surfers will be, does it provide good grip? Because most of them won't be interested in the shark repellent side of things. And if it works, like I think it does already, they'll never see a shark. They'll be much more interested in the quality of the wax. And that's the sort of feedback I'm pleading with my early customers and the people that I've sent samples to around the world is, you know, give it to me straight. Did you like it as a wax? Personally, I love it. I haven't used anything else for a year, but I'm biased. So I really need to hear this from other surfers. I needed to hear it from shortboard surfers in particular. And the thing that about it that, it, you know, I'm talking too much, am I, guys? You tell me to shut up.
Well,
I'm talking too much.
You know what? We're thrilled to hear the vision from the man that originated it. I'm looking at an article here in Surfer Today, surfertoday.com. You can find out more about Chillax all over the internet. This was a published in August. Lots and lots of people are hearing the message, Neil. We look forward to that scientific examination, some proof, and then I think you're really going to get that breakthrough that you're looking for.
You guys will be the first to know when I get back from this testing at sea. We hope that it's going to be taking place at the end of next month. We got to raise the money. We're looking for an angel investor, like every startup is.
Right.
Tomorrow, Saturday morning, our time, I'm on national television here on the breakfast television program called Sunrise. So we're getting some fairly serious media exposure now, and there's an acceleration going on, you know, because the logic appeals to everybody.
Right. This is a beautiful thing, but we got you first, before Sunrise.
You did. And they can refer
for an original interview, they can refer back to the South Bay show. Neil Campbell, Common Sense Surf Company, thank you so much for joining us today.
Jackie, it's been an absolute pleasure. I hope we get to meet in person one day. I'll come down there for a surf. I can't wait.
I am truly honored to have you on the show. It's rare that you meet an entrepreneur that solves a problem in such a holistic way, in a way that everyone, people who love sharks and hate the fact that people kill sharks because they're afraid of them, and people who love surfing and just want a common sense way to be safe. Everyone involved in this issue is going to find something that they love about Chillax. And Jackie and I love bringing these things to light. And so now we're going to have to consider Adelaide as part of our local.
You guys have got to look me up when you get down here, all right? And your listeners, I mean, I'm a Sydney boy, all right, through and through.
Yeah.
You know, the New York of Australia is Sydney. I'm a Sydney boy, but I'm loving Adelaide. It is a change of place, a change of pace, unlike anywhere else in Australia. It is a city unlike any of the others. It is so chilled. The only reason this wax has happened is because it was Adelaide. People here have got amazing, gentle, patient, open-minded sensitivity, and it is worth visiting. I can't recommend it to you enough, and you are welcome in my company, you two, and anybody of your listeners are welcome to look me up anytime they like. I'll take them out longboarding.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm doing this a little late, but hey, you've been listening to the South Bay Show, and we're talking about Chillax. You need to know more, go to joeycrowd.com, J-O-E-Y, joeycrowd.com/Chillax, C-H-I-L-L-A-X. Thank you so much, Neil. We'll talk soon.
It's been great talking to you guys. Thanks for having me.
Now, don't go away, Neil. Hang on. And Jackie, this has been fantastic.
I know.
This is awesome. So let's get some more people from down under, Jackie, on a regular basis. I'm on it.
We should do it. I could put you in touch with some interesting people down here.
It's a wonderful thing. Of course, we live in the world where talking to people from Adelaide or anywhere else on the planet via the internet is possible, And that's the world we live in. And that's how we're going to solve big problems. All right. That's our show, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for listening. And chillax. See ya. Bye-bye.